Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And we bow before your holy presence, and we thank you for the word that you have given us. Those ancient words that are ever true to lead us, to guide us, to give us hope. And open our hearts today as Brother Cal comes and leads us, and he preaches and teaches from your holy word. Give him strength, give him guidance as he delivers that message to us. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Please be seated if you can. Andrew's right. I want to talk to you about the ancient word. I like the old word. The scripture talks about the old paths. And it's time that God's people began to get back on those old paths, the ancient word of God. And the writer of Hebrews, we've been in Hebrews, for those of you that are visiting with us, we've been in Hebrews this year, and we're going to stay in Hebrews until we finish. Unless Jesus comes, and then we're going to let him finish Hebrews, all right? Last week we talked about the promise of rest, the promise of peace, peace in the valley, and we talked about that creation rest and Canaan rest and Calvary rest. And so the writer of Hebrews brings up this great passage, these two wonderful verses about the Word of God. And because the Word of God helps us in every facet, in every area. Amen? The Word of God helps us. And as I sit here and I'm looking at Johnny, his father-in-law had tremendous surgery this week. And things went well. And I want you to know our people were praying the Word of God for your father and Brittany, for your father. Anyways, God's Word is so, so wonderful. And if we've been able to do anything here, I've prayed that for the last 8 years that we have lifted up the Word of God. You can't separate the written Word from the living Word. And so we're in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look primarily at verse 12 and verse 13. So I know we've been standing up and down and that kind of thing, but if you can honor God's word by standing to your feet, if you can't do it the best way you know how, just want to read two verses to you this morning. All right, here's the word of the Lord for the Lord's people. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Father, we ask right now that you would bless your word, that you would give us the wisdom to understand it, that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And God, as we receive the truth, that we might become not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. God, that we would be obedient to what you're calling us to do. As the writer of Hebrews wrote this 2,000 years ago, it was good for those folks who needed to hear it, and it's still good for us today. Thank you for your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. In Jesus, the living word's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, please be seated. Thank you. God's building a church, his church. God's building. Y'all do know God is building a church, right? And he's got a lot of building materials that he uses. He uses faith, he uses commitment, he uses giving, he uses prayer, he uses witnessing. But I think one of the most special tools that God uses in building his church is the Word of God. I want to just share with you, I've got a lot of Bibles in my study at home. A lot of different translations. I've got a Bible that's over 100 years old. It was my grandfather Smith's Bible. He was a Baptist preacher for over 60 years, and it looks like it's been drowned, burned, and beaten up. I've got a Bible at my study that my parents gave me about 50 years ago. I've got a Bible that my pastor gave me when he ordained me. I've got a Bible in my study that my seminary president gave me when the miracle of Cal Hampton graduating from seminary happened. And so all of these Bibles are just really, and I've got some more that I can talk to you about, but all of these Bibles that I have are precious. But amazingly, you know what? Every one of these Bibles tell me the same thing. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. It's amazing how unbelievably powerful and active the Word of God is in my life. And by the way, one of the earliest songs, Dwight Dixon, do you remember Sunbeams? This means yes. All right. I was just a little bitty thing, and one of the very first songs we learned in Sunbeams was the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. So y'all heard it and learned it too. Amen. That's good singing. There's your choir, Andrew, right there. Now, as I mentioned, you know, my daddy used to read this his big black King James Bible to us around the dinner table at night. I learned Bible verses in vacation Bible school growing up, and I'm still learning the Bible, but it's such an amazing book. You know, the Bible was written, the Word of God was written over a period of about 1,600 years. Wow. And it was written in three different languages, on three different continents, by over 40 different authors. And yet, the Bible has one message. The Old Testament predicts Jesus. The New Testament presents Jesus. Jesus is in every book, every chapter. He's on every page. Y'all have heard me say it before. The Bible is a hymn book because it's all about Him. And the Bible has one overall message. It's that God loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's hard to believe. God loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. Aren't you thankful for that? That's the message of the Bible. And so, and it's just as applicable today as when it was written. And when you read it, you're reading what God has to say. The Bible doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And when you're hearing the Word, you're hearing what God has to say. There's nothing like this amazing book. It just blesses me. And you know, the Bible tells you not only who you are, but why you're here and where you're going. Hello? Isn't that good? Some of you are looking at me like, you know, y'all know what a moon calf face is. The Bible is an amazing, amazing book. And, you know, we don't worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. But it's hard to separate the written Word from the living Word because they are one and of the same thing. And so I've said all of that to say this. The Word of God builds a church. And that's what we're looking at this morning. So y'all pray for me. This is one of my favorite subjects that I don't go too long today because I don't want to get stoned by our nursery workers. First of all, the Word of God, if you've got an outline, it's very simple. The Word of God is productive. It's productive. That's what he's saying there in verse 12. He says, for the Word of God is living. Now, that's the word Zoe. It's the word that we get our word for zoology, okay? And that word means living. The Bible is alive. It's alive. It's a living book, and because of that, it is a very productive book in our lives. And when you read your Bible, it brings you face to face with the living, life-giving Lord of glory. John 6:63 says, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Whoo, glory to God. Simon Peter said over there in John 6:68, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, you know, there's a crowd out there today, and I hear this, and I'm sure some of you all do too, that the Bible is just an old-fashioned, out-of-date, irrelevant book. I'll tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. When you open your Bible and begin to read about Him, it's like He steps off the pages into your life. Whoo, glory to Him. And let me just say this lovingly. You cannot know God or grow up in Him unless you read your Bible. Some of you all are here today, and the only time you read your Bible is up in here on Sunday morning. Listen, folks, if you want to get to know Jesus, you got to get in the Bible. Y'all have heard me say it before. If you want to know about the stars, then you're going to read a book on astronomy. But if you want to know the bright and morning star, read your Bible. If you want to know about the ages of a rock, you're going to read a book on geology. But if you want to know the Rock of Ages, get in the Bible. Read your Bible. If you want to know about lilies and roses, well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to read a book on botany. I've never read a book on botany. But I want to tell you, I want to know the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, so I'm going to keep reading my Bible. You'll find Jesus, and you'll grow in Him if you'll just begin reading your Bible. Look at your neighbor and say, "Read your Bible." All right. And so the Bible, let me return back to this. The Bible is productive. The Word of God is living. It's active. And because it's alive. Now, every one of the 66 books in the Bible have been used to give people life. It should. That's why God wrote it. John 20:31 says, "God wrote the Bible so that we might be saved." One of our great reformers was a man by the name of Martin Luther. How many of y'all have heard of Martin Luther? Okay, several of you. Well, he was reading and studying through the book of Romans and came to the understanding that we are justified by faith in Christ alone. You know the song we sing, "In Christ Alone"? Well, that came from that truth out of the book of Romans. And so, And then David Cooper and I were talking about this very thing last Sunday morning after the worship service. Back a couple hundred years ago in England, it was a very snowy, snowy, cold morning. And it was so snowy and the snow was so deep that the pastor didn't show up that Sunday morning. Well, bless God, Daniel, one of the deacons showed up, okay? And he said, "Well, the pastor's not here. I guess I'm going to have to preach." And so his text for the morning was Isaiah 45:22, which says, "Look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." And that morning, a 16-year-old boy gave his heart and life to Jesus and became the greatest preacher that England's ever known, probably. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The Word of God has the power. You remember old John the Baptist, right? You've read about him. He used one word in the Bible, repent, and thousands of folks came to faith in the Lord. And by the way, the Bible is still bringing life to us today. It speaks on contemporary issues like marriage and family. It speaks on issues like religion and government and employment. It speaks on hot topics like homosexuality and alternative lifestyles. It speaks on hot topics like transgenderism and racism and sexism and alcoholism and liberalism, and basically tells you all these isms ought to be wasms. Oh, come on, y'all. Talks about divorce and gambling and all kinds of topics. I mean, the Bible is the hot book, and we need to get into it. You know, when I'm reading my Bible, sometimes I'll just bust out laughing. I have a big smile on my face, you know, and because I just kind of try to put myself in the passage that I'm reading. Anybody else do that, or am I just crazy? Don't answer that. And sometimes I'm reading through the Bible again this year, and back a couple of weeks ago, I was moving through the book of Lamentations. Let me just warn you about Lamentations. I started squalling and bawling. It is a depressing situation that the people of God are in. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. And then there are other times when, man, I'm reading the Bible, and I'll get under conviction. I'll get under conviction. And there's other times when I'm reading the Scriptures, God will just challenge me with something that I need to do a little bit better or go a little bit deeper. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I thank God for the Bible. Now, I want everybody, if you got a Bible or some kind of Bible app, turn with me to 2 Timothy. Just turn left in your Bibles, just a few pages. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We need to unpack this verse real quick. 2 Timothy 3, 16. It's about 4 or 5 pages to the left if you have your Bible. I don't know how to get to it on your Bible app, but you can. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Are you ready? All Scripture. What does all mean? Yeah. All of it. Every word, every jot, all of it. All Scripture is inspired of God, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the Scripture says that God's Word has been inspired by God Himself. And that word inspired, that word inspiration, is the Greek word theopneustos. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but theos means God, and pneuo means spirit, wind, or breath. And so we're talking about God breathed on the Scriptures, and the Scriptures came to life. Now, here's the deal. I've done my homework, and anytime in the Bible, in the Scriptures, you see God breathing, something or someone comes to life. In Genesis 2:7, God breathed, and old Adam sprang to life. In Ezekiel 37, God breathed again, and a valley of dead, dry bones sprang to life. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, God breathed again, and hallelujah, the church sprang to life. And then over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, God breathed again, and the Bible came to life. Hallelujah. And so when God breathed, you know, how many of you, I know I'm nuts, but sometimes when we're down on the beach, every now and then I'll find a big shell. And I'll put that shell up to my ear, and guess what I hear? Yeah. Well, you know what? If you'll just read your Bible, open it, and begin to read what God has to say, man, it'll come to life for you. You'll hear God's breath. You'll feel God breathing life into His Word. Now, let me just say this before we move on. I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't know where Cain's wife came from. But if he was happy with her, I'm happy with her. I don't have to understand it all. As God gives revelation to me little by little, then I can understand more. But I want to tell you, even though I don't understand it all, I believe it all. I don't even understand how you go back here on that wall and you hit those light switches and all of a sudden they'll let there be light and there's light. I don't understand all that. But you know what? I'm not going to walk around in darkness. I'm going to flip the light switch on. Hello? And so you can believe the Bible. You can believe it. It's living. It's alive. It's productive, man. It does what it needs to do. And I want to ask you, is the Word of God changing your life? If you'll get into it and read it and ask the Holy Spirit to make it real to you, it'll start changing your life. It'll give you direction. Why? Because the Bible is alive. It's a living book. I could go on for the next 2 hours. But we're going to move on to our second point here. And it's right there in your text. Check it out with me. It's living and powerful. The Word of God is powerful, and that's the word powerful. That's the word we get for energy. The Word of God energizes us. The Bible does something on the inside of us, not just the outside. By the way, you think you're reading your Bible? Well, bless God, the Bible's reading you. It's the only book like it. As I mentioned, it has the power to convert a soul, but it also has the power to comfort a soul. Psalm 119 verse 50 reveals the Word of God is our comfort in affliction. And as a pastor, from time to time, I have to go to a brokenhearted family and conduct a funeral for them. And let me just tell you, there are no human words that can totally comfort somebody's soul who've had to say goodbye to a loved one. But you know what can comfort them? The Word of God. I've watched the Word of God minister words of comfort to people who are really struggling in their faith, who are really having a hard time. The Word of God comforts us and it soothes our doubts and our worries. There are times when you have to have the Word of God if you want that comfort, and He can give it to you. The Bible also has the power to cleanse our souls. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." How many of you know that? The word sanctify means to set apart. God's word is truth. It tells us what's right. By the way, I'll skip this. I should have mentioned it to you. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says that all scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable for doctrine. The Bible tells you what's right. How many of you know today we need to know what's right? And then it says for reproof. In other words, the Bible tells you what's not right. How many of you know we need to know what's not right? And then the Bible says, and then it says it's good for correction. In other words, the Bible will tell you how to get right. Y'all, this is good preaching. I'm sorry. Instruction in righteousness. The Bible will teach you how to stay right. Whew. Man, the Word of God has what we need today, and it has the power to sanctify us. Now, I'm not going to say her name, because if I do, y'all know who we're talking about. But a few years ago, she had this powerful talk show. And she helped a lot of people on this show. I mean, she was giving stuff away every time she was on air on the studio. And yet somehow she got to thinking she was America's theologian. And in one of her talk shows, she said that there were multiple ways to God. That there were many different paths to God. And hallelujah. There was a Nancy DePriest in the crowd. And this lady stood up and she said, "I'll have you know, there's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ." And you know what the audience did? After she sanctified that studio with truth, it broke out in tremendous applause. Hallelujah. The Bible is what we need. It's powerful. It energizes us. It's productive. It gives us what we need. Turn it loose and just watch it work. Hallelujah. Here's the third point, and this is the one I wanted to really get to. The Word of God is not only productive and powerful, it's penetrating. It's piercing. He says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible has piercing, penetrating power. It cuts to the heart. I preached at a silent auction last night for the salvation. I wasn't silent, but the auction was, okay? And they gave me about 7 or 8 minutes. And I was sitting there at the table. I didn't have any supper. I got there late. And anyways, I was sitting beside this brother. And I laid my Bible down on the table. And he looked at that Bible and he says, "Uh-oh, I'm fixing to get cut." He knows the word. Because the Bible is like a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts and it exposes. Back in the day, a Roman soldier, yeah, they would carry a sword, but they also had another instrument of war called a dagger, and it was about this long, 12 to 18 inches long, and it had a double edge on it, and man, it was the sharpest tool they had. But as sharp as that dagger was, it couldn't cut between bone and marrow, or marrow. But the Word of God can. And it can cut way down deep in your soul and in your spirit. It'll do the work that it's supposed to do. How many of you have ever been in your Bible and all of a sudden you're reading something and all of a sudden, man, you're just cut to the heart? It convicts you. It exposes what's wrong and what's not right. I thank God for it. It shows us what our motives are. It goes all the way down to where the soul and the spirit live. That's where the good and the bad reside. It reaches areas that you just can't see and didn't even know you were there. You remember when Simon Peter was preaching that great, powerful Pentecostal sermon and over 3,000 people were saved? The Bible says 3,000 people were cut to the heart. He used the Word of God to cut and to slice and to dice. The Bible is penetrating. It's piercing. It examines our lives. It deals not only with our thoughts, but with our intentions. Our intentions, our motives. It's our best critic. When you sit down to read your Bible again, it's reading you. And one of the things that we need to do when we're reading our Bible is ask the Holy Spirit to get plugged into this. And ask Him to lead you and to guide you and to teach you and to convict you and to examine you and guide you. And the truth of the matter is, you know what I've found out? God's not only got your name, He's got your number. And He'll speak to you from His Word. And it'll cut you to the quick. But you know what? You can't get healed unless you first get cut. Oh, let me say that again. You can't get healed unless you've been cut, right? And so that's what the Word of God does. It cuts us way down deep and shows us what's not right and helps us to understand what we need to get right with God. And it'll clean up, and let me tell you, it'll clean up your mouth. So I know you'll have trouble believing this, but many years ago when Diane and I started having children, had two girls, and I was reading my Bible one morning, and now I wasn't going around taking the Lord's name in vain, but my language wasn't real good. And God got a hold of me. And I want to tell you, Brittany and Paige, my two daughters, they have never, ever heard their father cussing. That's not because I'm somebody special. That's because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and then instilled His power in my life and shut my old nasty tongue up, tied it up. It'll get the garbage out of your life. It'll clean you up. It'll do what it's supposed to do. How many of you have a bad habit? I think we all do. The Bible will help you to get rid of that bad habit, and it'll make you more like Jesus, and that's the positive thing we want to see happen. Amen? And so let me just kind of close with these verses. Now, you listen to these. The Bible will clean up your life. And so when I sin, 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When I get prideful, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. When I'm feeling all alone, some of you are lonely here today. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When I don't know which way to go, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And you know what He'll do? He'll direct my path. Wow. When I'm afraid, Joshua 1:9 says, be not afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whoo, somebody shout amen. When I'm backsliding, Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And when my life comes crumbling down around me, Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When I'm tempted, Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter in to temptation. When I'm worried, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. When all hope seems lost, Ephesians 3:20 says this, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Hallelujah. The Word of God does so much more than this, but if you'll get in it and start applying it to your life and memorizing it, you'll be a different man, a different woman, a different boy, a different girl. You'll start growing more like Jesus. And that's what this is all about. Now, I'll close with this. I know I've told y'all, don't believe the preacher when he says I'm closing, but I wanted to get this to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, now I've got family members, I've got friends who'll tell me, Cal, you put so much hope in the Bible, it was just written by a bunch of men. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Listen to this. Knowing this, that first, no prophecy of Scripture, no Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, no one person, no man came up with the Word of God. He says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And listen, brothers and sisters, we were talking about God breathed. That word move there means to be carried along. Carried along. Isn't that beautiful? God spoke to holy men of God, and he carried them along and breathed his word into their mouths and into their hearts and into their pens. And so what we have today is the authoritative, infallible word of God. Now, God didn't do away with their personalities. He didn't do away with their history or their unique style of writing. I mean, when you read the prophet Isaiah, it's Isaiah, amen? When you read the apostle of love, when you read the John's gospel, it's John, right? But the word of God somehow so moved and so led the writers of Scripture that they were given the word of God, and it's been given to us today. We've still got it. And whenever you hear or read the word, you're hearing or reading what God has to say. Whew. I could go on, but let me go back to this one verse that we started off with. Verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. Hello? God sees every single one of us. He's looking at everybody in this building this morning. He sees all of us. There's no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's going to come a day when you're going to stand before the Lord and we're all going to give an account. And I want to be able to say, and I've thought about this, what do I want my children to say about me? And you know, Billy, here's what I want them to say. And this is probably too much for a tombstone. But I want them to say, this man was a man of the word. What do you want to say to Jesus when you see him? Well, if I'll be faithful to what this word tells me to do, not perfect, because I am far from that, but if I'll just be faithful, if my heart's blameless, and I'm obedient to what God's word tells me to do, hallelujah, Jesus, I believe, will take me and hug me, and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Enter into the joy of your salvation. We're all going to stand before him one day. And whatever you've done with the written word and the living word is what you're going to give an account of. Let's pray together. Lord, I don't totally understand what you want to do now, but I feel like everybody in here, including me, needs to understand that there's a call to obedience whenever the Word of God is preached, whenever the Word of God is read. There's a part that we have to play. And I believe there's folks here today that need to repent of not being in the Word like we're supposed to be. I know there's times in my life you got my attention and you used your Word to do it along with the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, whether someone here today needs to be converted or needs to be comforted or needs to be cleansed or needs to be challenged, I pray now, Father, that you would speak to hearts all over this building. And God, that we might say yes to whatever it is that you're calling us to do. If you're here today, there's several things that, in several ways, directions that you can respond in obedience to the Word. You can come to an altar right up front here. I know that's kind of out of your comfort zone, but there's people that'll meet you up here and we'll love on you and we'll care for you and we'll pray for you. If you need some salvation counseling, we'll tell you how to be saved from the Word of God. And if you need private prayer, or counseling or advice, the war room, the prayer room's open right in the back. There'll be someone there to help you. But you've got to make that decision. I'm not going to drag you out of the chair. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And here's the deal. Are you going to say yes to what He's calling you to do? Father, give us Holy Ghost boldness to do what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.